Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back in. Glad you're with us here this morning. We're trying to keep up with everything and get you the very latest information on what's going on. We've got somebody robbed at gunpoint in Forest Park outside of the Muni. That, Kim St. Ons, that you reported happened this weekend, right?
Sunday at
just
noon.
Just now coming out?
Broad daylight. Yes, they released pictures of these guys. They look like teens to me.
It's crazy. Now we find out the Q and the Lou celebration's been canceled out of fears of concerns over violence.
Yeah,
in downtown.
Downtown safety. They don't want to. I don't blame these corporate sponsors. They don't want to be associated with that.
Yeah, we're going to continue to talk about all of that for you this morning. But one thing I want to shift focus to is this assassination attempt. It was July 13th. We're now at the end of August. We still don't have a lot of answers, but there's a task force that's been looking into this issue. And CB Cotton, reporter with Fox News, kind enough to give us a few minutes of her time this morning. CB, good morning to you.
Hey, Mark and Ken. Thanks so much for having me.
Yep.
So, yeah, this bipartisan group of lawmakers was here on the ground yesterday. They, from my estimate, they spent at least 2 hours at the site in Butler, Pennsylvania. Six Democrats, three Republicans from the task force, to include Republican Congressman Mike Kelly, who is also the chairman. And they gave a press briefing after. We got some answers. I think some things are still a mystery about this case, though, for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, I mean, I'm not. This is something that should transcend politics. The mix of congresspeople that were there, there were more Democrats than Republicans, interestingly enough.
There were, and we don't really have a clear-cut reason for as to why that was. I assume it was a scheduling matter, but yes, all six Democrats from the committee, from the task force, I should say, were here. Three of the Republicans were. There was supposed to be a fourth Republican, but he ended up not being able to get to the scene for whatever reason. There was a heavy emphasis on bipartisanship when they addressed the media. They said that no matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you shouldn't have to fear political violence in this country. And this task force, they are slated to give a report, produce a report on their findings by December 13th. So you could really hear and sense that urgency from them. In addition to touring the rally grounds, they also were speaking with local law enforcement yesterday. But Kim and Mark, I think something that's very interesting is that 6 weeks post the shooting, the FBI says it still doesn't have a motive. And we asked the task force, hey, are you guys going to speak with the gunman's family? And they wouldn't say.
I read a story yesterday, CB. I assume you've I don't know if Fox has reported on this yet or not, but I read a report that the gunman's father has hired some high-end defense attorney from there in the area because he's been questioned about this. I don't know if he hired someone out of fear that he might be targeted as part of this investigation. Have you heard anything about that?
We have been digging into that. I saw that report from the Daily Mail. We contacted that attorney and did try to get more information, and they said no comment. So more to watch with that. But I think, you know, Ethan Crumbly, he was one of the high school mass shooter in Michigan. In that case, what we're starting to hear wind of, and I believe maybe some civil litigation has been brought by some of the victim's family members towards his parents. Perhaps that is what Crook's father, if the reports are true that he has indeed hired this attorney, perhaps that's what gunman Thomas Matthew Crook's father is trying to prepare for in the aftermath of this shooting. We did contact that attorney, which the Daily Mail is reporting has been hired. They answered the phone and said no comment.
You know, I heard Trump talking at his Arizona rally recently, you know, when they announced that RFK was endorsing him, that he would establish an independent presidential commission on assassination attempts. I mean, what kind of impact, I wonder, would that have, you know, compared to what we have seen play out with this particular task force?
Kim, you bring up a great point. I reported on that over the weekend. I think what we're noticing with this, the aftermath of this assassination attempt investigation, is that you have some lawmakers who are coming forward to say they feel like the FBI and Secret Service are stonewalling them when it comes to producing documents. We had Senator Ron Johnson on Fox over the weekend who said they're receiving documents from some of these federal agencies, but he says they're very redacted, and he feels they can't conduct interviews thoroughly with these heavily redacted documents. I brought these concerns to some of the lawmakers here who were on site yesterday, members of this bipartisan task force, and they told me they don't feel like they're being stonewalled. They say they've had two briefings, one from the Secret Service and one from the FBI. And I said, well, okay, are you getting all the documents you need? And Chairman Mike Kelly responded and said, well, we don't have all the documents we need yet, but we know things move slow with this. And I think you've got two different tales coming from various groups of lawmakers that's creating confusion for the American public, because they do want answers and they want them more swiftly. So if former President Donald Trump is reelected, perhaps this commission that he wants to establish on assassination attempts is not a bad idea, especially if he can get transparency for the American people in a really timely manner.
Yeah, it's a great point. Listen, CB, we appreciate your time. I know you got some network stuff to take care of. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's always great to be with you both. Talk to you very soon.
Yep, appreciate that. Thanks. She's up in there in Butler, Pennsylvania.
I get excited when we talk to her, because I've mentioned before on the show when we interviewed her before, you know, she and I used to work in Nashville.
Yeah.
I remember her during my reporting days there. And so it's fun to see people now reporting for Fox. And she's a fantastic reporter.
She does very personable, and she's got her information correct for sure in the background of it. Yeah, I wondered about that when I saw that the fact that the father has hired a defense attorney. It was his gun that was used. And of course, we did have the former fire chief who was killed and other people injured. I'm certain he's concerned about his legal liability at this point.
But even if, let's just say the gun wasn't his, I still feel like in any situation like this where your son is the shooter behind an assassination attempt, I feel like you'd still lawyer up.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I feel like there's so many things that could come up that it would be natural. You'd be your instinct to want to get an attorney.
That's probably a very good point. Oh, by the way, speaking of the presidential campaign, there's a new poll out I'm going to tell you about coming up here in a minute. And also, did you hear who endorsed, and we know who endorsed Donald Trump yesterday. Tulsi Gabbard has endorsed, RFK Jr. has endorsed. You know who has endorsed Kamala Harris? The names might not surprise you.
Satan?
From the Republican side. Some Republicans have now come out and endorsed her to kind of make up for the Democrats that have endorsed Trump. So we're going to get to that for you when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not spending a lot of time on it. I think my whole life I've been preparing for a debate. You know, you can go in and you can have all sorts of sessions. I watched Mitt Romney go in and he worked so hard. He 4 weeks, he locked himself into a log cabin, and then he developed lockjaw. He couldn't speak. I watched other people. I mean, you have to be real. You know, you can't cram knowledge into your head for, you know, 30 years of knowledge in 1 week. So, you know, there's a little debate prep, but I've always done it more or less the same way. And you have to know your subject. And I think I know my subject. I think I know it better than anybody.
Yep. That's why Kamala wants notes, so she doesn't blow it.
You think they'll let her do that?
I don't know if Trump will agree to it or not. If he doesn't agree to it, they're going to cancel the debate.
Okay.
Because she doesn't want to be held accountable for anything.
Well, here's the thing. If let's just say that they allow her to do it. I mean, couldn't he theoretically just continue mentioning that? Like every time she goes to say a statement, he'd make a comment and saying, well, I'm glad you had your notes to refer to. Like, draw attention to it? Because would that potentially be as damaging to her?
Well, what she would say is you agreed to the rules. You agreed to the rules. I just think it's a pathetic crutch that she would have to go up there with notes and doesn't know all the stuff in her head. He's not worried about that. That's why I love that answer. I don't really need to prepare. I've got this stuff is in my head.
That's why she won't do an interview, because she can't retain all of it. And she doesn't even probably know where she stands on policies, because she's waiting for her staff to tell her where she should so that she can get the most votes.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree by that with that. So there was a Echelon Insight survey from Monday. Underscoring, this is a Breitbart story, underscoring Trump's ability to overcome his opponent's honeymoon phase. Trump has a slight lead that remains virtually unchanged since Echelon Insights released its similar findings in July. On August 26th, they found Trump 49%, Harris 48%. In a full field, minus RFK, it's Trump 48, Harris 48, Stein 1%, Oliver 1%, and West 1%. Now, Jill Stein's making a big deal out of the fact that she won in court and is able to stay on the ballot up in Wisconsin. Some Democrat activist was trying to kick her off the ballot in Wisconsin because they do know she's drawing 1% or 2% support, which they believe might make a difference in that state. I thought that was interesting. The poll was completed by 1,031 likely voters from August 23rd to the 25th with a 3-point margin of error. So it could be 3 points in any direction, but this still shows Trump up by 1%. Top three issues for voters were cost of living, immigration, jobs, and the economy.
Except when we were talking to John Lamping earlier this morning, you can listen to that conversation on the Odyssey app, by the way. He was saying that for Democrats, like 2-1, the issue is abortion. It's going to drive them to the polls, which is interesting, because I had thought from various polls that had been done over the last several months that even for the Democrats, the economy, the border, those were still top issues. And you hear Kamala, number one, at the DNC, they talked about abortion, but you did hear them talk about, you know how they like play like ads basically for her on the giant screen. I would hear them talk about how she was tough on crime and all the things.
Listen to the Trump ad that they're running right now, the Trump campaign, targeting Kamala with her own contradictory statements on the economy. Go to cut three.
Everyday prices are too high. Food, rent, gas, back to school clothes.
That is called Bidenomics.
A loaf of bread cost 50% more today.
Ground beef is up almost 50%.
There's not much left at the end of the month.
Bidenomics is working.
The price of housing has gone up. It feels so hard to just be able to get ahead.
And we are very proud of Bidenomics.
That's pretty good.
It is a pretty effective ad. I'm sure they're running it in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and places
states.
Like
yeah.
that, right? The swing states. So here's the other interesting news that I saw yesterday. RFK, Tulsi Gabbard come out and endorse Trump. So not surprisingly, the Harris campaign released its own list of endorsements filled with former John McCain supporters. They all hate Trump. And a bunch of former George W. Bush and Romney supporters, people that worked in the Bush administration, worked either for Romney or on his campaign or on McCain's campaign, all of these rhinos, have signed a letter supporting Kamala Harris, not because they think she's best for the country, but because Orange Man bad. This is the mental illness that's running rampant in this country. These people are so selfish. They would rather watch the economy get destroyed than vote for Donald Trump. It's self-defeating. I don't understand that. You prospered during Donald Trump's first term. What in the hell is wrong with you? That would be the question I would love to ask this bunch of people who signed this. And I don't know, in a lot of cases, I don't know that you would recognize their names anyway. They were people that worked they were staffers for Bush and McCain and Romney, but I don't know that you'd recognize the names. David Bentley, Tom Bilbo, former director of operations, Department of Housing and Urban Development, Vicky Blanton, who served as director of scheduling for Romney's presidential campaign. She was in his binder of women, I understand. We'll be back in just a minute.
The claim about being in actual combat, that's different. Waltz did make a comment speaking to a group. He's done it a couple of times where he has used language that has suggested that he carried weapons in a fighting situation. As you know, with your contact with the military, I know from coming from a military family, there is a difference between being in a combat area, being involved at a time of war, and actually being in a position where people are shooting at you. There is no evidence that at any time Governor Waltz was in a position of being shot at, and some of his language could easily be seen to suggest that he was. So that is absolutely false when he said that about gun rights out there.
Yeah, how about that? Of course, that's to the issue of stolen valor. And Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, the vice presidential candidate for the Democrats, still hasn't been resolved. They've tried to excuse it away, but they've even had to change their website and basically admit that he's been lying about this to his political advantage for years now, since he ran for Congress after he left the National Guard up there. And it's a big issue for a lot of veterans, I know, for sure. Now there may be something else coming out about Waltz. Aaron Pomerantz joining us right now, political analyst, commentator with Young Voices. And Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so the other issue here, besides, obviously, he used stolen valor, it appears, that's the accusation, to sort of boost his resume and his accomplishments. But he might have also boosted that resume in another way. What is the misrepresentation that Waltz is accused of now?
He's basically just being accused of maybe overstating the degree, an award he may or may not have gotten from the Nebraska Chamber of Congress as best young Nebraskan or something like that. The entire thing it was supposed to represent was that he was good for businesses. And he brought this up in his congressional campaign. They got mad at him and they were like, actually the Nebraska Chamber of Commerce, has endorsed your opponent. We'd appreciate it if you stopped representing yourself this way. And he did.
Yeah.
It's politicians being politicians. When most of us fluff our resumes, don't have to do it quite so blatantly. But for politicians, this is resume enhancement. That's what they do.
Wow. And be a little bit more specific of it. He was claiming that he got an award for what was it exactly that from this Chamber of Commerce at the time?
That essentially he was friendly for small businesses. This was designed to make him look good and attractive to small businesses.
I mean, this might seem like a little thing, you know, like, oh, well, he said he got an award. Maybe he forgot. I don't know. But to me, it just is indicative of a now pattern of lying. You call it embellishing. And to your point, I mean, you're right. A lot you can imagine how many people might embellish a little bit on their resume. But this is a person who is asking for, you know, Americans to vote for him to represent the entire country as the vice president.
I mean, yeah, but I think the issue is that, one, people don't really vote for vice presidents. They vote for presidents. And I think the other thing is that, yeah, this would be a really big issue potentially if there were any other candidates being run against him. But I think the Trump campaign is trying to make this into an issue of character, and that's a really dangerous ground for them to go on when their vice president once compared Trump to Hitler and is now his VP. And Trump his latest thing is to say that he's not, he's no longer pro-life, essentially, and to abandon the pro-life movement.
Well, but that was Vance's opinion. I mean, it wasn't him claiming something he didn't do. I mean, he's kind of explained that, I think. So I mean, I could see why they're trying to show a pattern here of where he's used things in his past to try to advance himself politically that didn't happen, like his title is in the military, and now this letter that he apparently has been brought up to him on a number of occasions prior, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's been brought up a couple of times, and I do think if this were anyone else, this would be a really big deal, but he's running against Donald Trump, and Donald Trump also has a history of embellishing his own achievements. Such, I mean, the most recent one being he claimed that illegal immigration was at the lowest it had ever been at the end of his tenure as president, which was just not true. It was misinterpreting data. What they need to do is they need to focus on the issues. They need to attack Waltz, and Waltz has given them a ton of ammo for that. They can attack him on so many better things, I think, that will impact people's opinion of him far more than just, oh, he boosted his resume.
I do agree with you there that they need to focus on the policies, because let's be clear here, Trump nor Kamala nor clearly Tim Walz have much to say about their own character. I mean, these are not, none of them are people I would look to as like a moral compass, right?
Nope.
So to your point, I think they do need to focus on the policy. I don't think it's wrong for the Trump campaign to point this out, because I think it is a problem. However, I don't think that this should be the focus. I think, like you said, the focus should be on the policies, because ultimately that's going to be the biggest thing that impacts people.
Yeah. And I think it's really dangerous to try to ask, you know, as you said, none of these people are moral paragons. The last thing I think either campaign really wants to do, certainly not the Trump campaign, is to basically turn this into a, well, who do I hate the least situation? And I think that the DNC last week did a really good job of showing that, whether you believe it or not, the image that they projected, whether you believe that image or not, it certainly was an image of strength and an image of unity and a positive image. It's probably all politicking, It makes people like it. You know, it's uplifting.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I didn't realize, Aaron, I don't know if you've looked into this or not. I was under the impression that Waltz, like Shapiro in Pennsylvania, was a very popular governor. But it was pointed out to me in an article I read yesterday that he barely won re-election and basically won in the big cities and lost in all the outlying counties, like 33 of the different counties up there. So that's also an angle that I think the Trump campaign needs to attack a little more.
I would agree. If they want to hammer on Walz, they need to bring up his gubernatorial record. And there's tons to do there. You know, he's in cahoots with Ilhan Omar. He's disliked by most rural Minnesotans, and he's not exactly super popular even in their cities. It is mind-boggling to me, and I do think this suggests that the Harris campaign didn't really do a great job of vetting their choices. It seems that Shapiro would have been the smarter option, but
yeah.
They are where they are.
I think she got so much. I think they wanted Shapiro. That's what I heard, that they initially went with him. They got so much pushback, I guess, because of the Jewish ties, that they were like, oh, can't do that. So then Tim Walz was actually their...
The claim about being in actual combat, that's different. Waltz did make a comment speaking to a group, he's done it a couple of times, where he has used language that has suggested that he carried weapons in a fighting situation. As you know, with your contact with the military, I know from coming from a military family, there is a difference between being in a combat area, being involved at a time of war, and actually being in a position where people are shooting at you. There is no evidence that at any time Governor Waltz was in a position of being shot at, and some of his language could easily be seen to suggest that he was. So that is absolutely false when he said that about gun rights out there.
Yeah, how about that? Of course, that's to the issue of stolen valor. And Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, the vice presidential candidate for the Democrats, still hasn't been resolved. They've tried to excuse it away, but they've even had to change their website and basically admit that he's been lying about this to his political advantage for years now, since he ran for Congress after he left the National Guard up there. And it's a big issue for a lot of veterans, I know, for sure. Now there may be something else coming out about Waltz. Aaron Pomerantz joining us right now, political analyst, commentator with Young Voices. And Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so the other issue here, besides, obviously, he used stolen valor, it appears, that's the accusation, to sort of boost his resume and his accomplishments. But he might have also boosted that resume in another way. What is the misrepresentation that Waltz is accused of now?
He's basically just being accused of maybe overstating the degree, an award he may or may not have gotten from the Nebraska Chamber of Congress as best young Nebraskan or something like that. The entire thing it was supposed to represent was that he was good for businesses. And he brought this up in his congressional campaign. They got mad at him. And they were like, actually, the Nebraska Chamber of Commerce has endorsed your opponent. So we'd appreciate, we'd appreciate it if you stopped representing yourself this way. And he did.
Yeah.
It's politicians being politicians. When most of us, when we fluff our resumes, don't have to do it quite so blatantly. But for politicians, this is resume enhancement. That's what they do.
Wow. And what, be a little bit more specific of it. He was claiming that he got an award for what was it exactly that from this Chamber of Commerce at the time?
That essentially he was friendly for small businesses. This was designed to make him look good and attractive to small businesses.
I mean, this might seem like a little thing, you know, like, oh, well, he said he got an award. Maybe he forgot. I don't know. But to me, it just is indicative of a now pattern of lying. You call it embellishing. And to your point, I mean, you're right. A lot you can imagine how many people might embellish a little bit on their resume. But this is a person who is asking for, you know, Americans to vote for him to represent the entire country as the vice president.
I mean, yeah, but I think the issue is that, one, people don't really vote for vice presidents. They vote for presidents. And I think the other thing is that, yeah, this would be a really big issue, potentially, if there were any other candidates being run against him. But I think the Trump campaign is trying to make this into an issue of character, and that's a really dangerous ground for them to go on when their vice president once compared Trump to Hitler and is now his VP. And Trump has, I mean, his latest thing is to say that he's not, he's no longer pro-life, essentially, and to abandon the pro-life.
Well, but that was Vance's opinion. I mean, it wasn't him claiming something he didn't do. I mean, he's kind of explained that, I think. So I mean, I could see why they're trying to show a pattern here of where he's used things in his past to try to advance himself politically that didn't happen, like his title is in the military, and now this letter that apparently has been brought up to him on a number of occasions prior, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's been brought up a couple of times, and I do think if this were anyone else, this would be a really big deal, but he's running against Donald Trump, and Donald Trump also has a history of embellishing his own achievements. Such, I mean, the most recent one being he claimed that illegal immigration was at the lowest it had ever been at the end of his tenure as president, which was just not true. It was misinterpreting data. What they need to do is they need to focus on the issues. They need to attack Waltz, and Waltz has given them a ton of ammo for that. They can attack him on so many better things, I think, that will impact people's opinion of him far more than just, oh, he boosted his resume.
I do agree with you there that they need to focus on the policies, because let's be clear here, Trump nor Kamala nor clearly Tim Walz have much to say about their own character. I mean, these are not, none of them are people I would look to as like a moral compass. Right.
Nope.
So to your point, I think they do need to focus on the policy. I don't think it's wrong for the Trump campaign to point this out, because I think it is a problem. However, I don't think that this should be the focus. I think, like you said, the focus should be on the policies, because ultimately that's going to be the biggest thing that impacts people.
Yeah. And I think it's really dangerous to try to ask, you know, as you said, none of these people are moral paragons. The last thing I think either campaign really wants to do, certainly not the Trump campaign, is to basically turn this into a, well, who do I hate the least situation. And I think that the DNC last week did a really good job of showing that, whether you believe it or not, the image that they projected, whether you believe that image or not, it certainly was an image of strength and an image of unity and a positive image. It's probably all politicking, It makes people like it. You know, it's uplifting.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I didn't realize, Aaron, I don't know if you've looked into this or not. I was under the impression that Waltz, like Shapiro in Pennsylvania, was a very popular governor. But it was pointed out to me in an article I read yesterday that he barely won re-election and basically won in the big cities and lost in all the outlying counties, like 33 of the different counties up there. So that's also an angle that I think the Trump campaign needs to attack a little more.
I would agree. If they want to hammer on Walz, they need to bring up his gubernatorial record. And there's tons to do there. He's in cahoots with Ilhan Omar. He's disliked by most rural Minnesotans, and he's not exactly super popular even in their cities. It is mind-boggling to me, and I do think this suggests that the Harris campaign didn't really do a great job of vetting their choices. It seems that Shapiro would have been the smarter option, but they are where they are.
I think she got so much, I think they wanted Shapiro. That's what I heard, that they initially went with him. They got so much pushback, I guess, because of the Jewish ties, that they were like, oh, can't do that. So then Tim Walz was actually their second pick.
Hmm. Yeah.
That could certainly be. I've also heard that Walz just vibed better with Vice President Harris. In either case, it would certainly be a real shame if they just gave in to anti-Semitism. But even if it is just vibes, either way, you have a responsibility to vet your VP pick. And they were running against the Trump campaign. They knew this. The Trump campaign is absolutely a no-holds-barred, personal attacks. Like, they knew this was coming, and they didn't bother to check before they picked Walz. That to me, is kind of worrying.
Yeah, yeah. Aaron Pomerantz, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I will stick by my guns there that it's the second example of this guy blowing his resume out of proportion to try to make more of it than it is. Why do you need that?
Well, no, it shows a pattern of lying, embellishing, whatever you want to call it. I think it's smart and necessary for the Trump campaign to point it out, but I don't think we should just harp on it. I think that was Aaron's point, and I actually would agree with that. I think he's got to focus on the policies in these fine, what do we have, 70 days? Less than 70 days.
Not enough. If you haven't contributed yet, contribute now, because they're going to have to spend every dime they've got to counter this narrative across the country that Harris is something new, when she's the same person we've known all along who failed miserably in 2020 and is vice president. They've got to hammer that home. All right, quick break here. When we come back, I know you've heard about it by now. We've been running ads all over the place for it, but the Midwest Wing Fest is coming up this weekend. It benefits, of course, the folks in the military, the veterans, and we're going to talk to Doug Shoemaker about how you can take part in that 2-day food and music festival this coming weekend. Stay tuned. All right, so the good news is it was 100 degrees yesterday. I think it's going to be maybe 100 degrees again today, but we're looking at a decent cool-off heading into this weekend, so you can venture back outside and start making your plans now. And, of course, we know that the Midwest Wing Fest is taking place this weekend, and that is fantastic. It's an opportunity for you to get out and spend a couple days, two different days of food and music. And we have got Doug Shoemaker with us in studio this morning to talk a little bit more about it. And, Doug, how are you?
I am absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks for all you do.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going to spend the rest of my life giving back. These guys and girls, what they do for us, it's so important. They're just the most amazing souls, and we need to do everything we can to give back.
You're doing it. You support veterans by doing this. Explain how.
Yeah, so we've supported over the years all kinds of different causes, just raising some funds for everything from the Fisher House to the VFW, you name it, all kinds of different organizations, different individuals. The last few years, probably the last 10 years, we've supported a group out of Ohio called Blue Skies Warrior Weekend, where we take Purple Heart recipients, Gold Star families, which are the families of fallen soldiers, and we take Blue Shield families, which are the families of fallen officers, and then the families of fallen firefighters as well. And we go out for a few days of jumping out of airplanes. We ride in World War II bombers, Vietnam era Hueys. We love on these people like no tomorrow, man. We don't force healing. We just want to introduce them to other people that have gone through or are going through what they are, and give them a family that they can heal with whenever they're ready.
So, of course, going to Wing Fest this weekend, you can try the delicious wings, but you're also supporting this good cause. And did I see it was like 25,000? What's the typical turnout here?
Yeah, it's on average, it's around 25,000. We've had upwards of 40,000 out there. Even with 112 degree heat and you name it, people love their wings.
Yes, because you say wings and people will come.
Yeah.
So what is it? Is it a competition? Because I know for those big barbecue competitions, you'll get people coming from all over the country. Is this mostly local support?
Yeah, so a lot of the food vendors are local. Okay, we do get people. We've had people come from Chicago, from Wisconsin, from all around. But we've got 15 different food vendors, different wing vendors. Now, they have to sell chicken wings. But as long as they sell chicken wings, they can sell any food items they want. So this is an all-out food festival.
Wow. That sounds, so where are you on that scale? Are you the are you the hot wings guy? You the medium wings guy?
Bone-in, boneless?
Well, I don't know that I necessarily believe that a boneless wing is really a wing.
That's a whole nother debate, right?
We can debate that another day.
parts is parts. Come on.
Yeah, you know, when I was young, I wanted it to melt my face off, and these days I like to actually
taste
my food.
You want the tears coming down your
yeah.
I appreciate that. I do. I'm the same way, man. Or I'm carrying a bottle of Tums with me, one of the two. That's for sure. So it says food and music. What do you got lined up this?
Yeah, so we've got five live bands, regional bands mostly, two bands Friday, three bands on Saturday. The bands on Friday start at 5 p.m. and go to 11 p.m. On Saturday, they start at 1 p.m. And we'll go till 10:45, 11 p.m., right around there.
Wow.
And we've also got a massive car cruise that's going on Saturday, 11 to 3. And we've got a really cool military and first responder area this year. It's really important to the team and I that we're as patriotic as possible. So we want kids to come out and see their, you know, their police officers and firemen and soldiers and be able to interact with them and see some of the cool vehicles. And the Navy's bringing an EOD, an explosive ordnance disposal display out. The Army's bringing a rock wall. The Marines have, of course, got their pull-up bar. I expect to see you guys out there crushing some pull-ups.
I could still do a pull-up.
I've got a shoulder injury right now.
Oh, sure you do.
You're going to have the shoulder injury for the rest of your life, right? Darn.
That's my excuse. So, again, it's in the parking lot at St. Clair Square, right?
Yeah, it's in the east parking lot behind Dillard's. Okay. I mean, it's massive. There's a huge kids area. There's probably 10 or 12 massive bounce houses out there. There's truly somebody for everybody.
Only $5 for anyone over 12, right?
Yeah,
and then, $5, of course, donations welcome.
Absolutely. $5 for 12 and above. And, we are a military and first responder fundraiser at heart. So we'll accept any donations that anybody's willing to bring.
Well, you know, it is the holiday weekend. If for some reason people can't get out there because they made plans to travel, can they donate online?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can go online. And one of the really cool things when they do that is whenever people donate online, we put them in our raffle. And we've got all kinds of great prizes donated from local businesses, including a big old 65-inch TV. So, and I actually wanted to say that anybody, if they go online in the next 10 minutes and make a donation, not only will they be in the raffle, but I'm also going to give the first five people that volunteer at the event, I'm going to give VIP passes after their shift. Anybody that's from like the Illinois side of the Mississippi Ocean that, you know, has heard of Dandy Inn, like, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
The only way you can get Dandy Inn wings is in our VIP area at Midwest Wing Fest. So
excellent.
First five people that volunteer, you're getting free VIP.
MidwestWingFest.com. Doug Shoemaker, thanks for all you do.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for us. Brian Kilmeade's up next. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
All right, so the good news is it was 100 degrees yesterday. I think it's going to be maybe 100 degrees again today. But we're looking at a decent cool-off heading into this weekend. So you can venture back outside and start making your plans now. And, of course, we know that the Midwest Wing Fest is taking place this weekend. And that is fantastic. It's an opportunity for you to get out and spend a couple days, two different days of food and music. And we have got Doug Shoemaker with us in studio this morning to talk a little bit more about it. And Doug, how are you?
I am absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks for all you do.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going to spend the rest of my life giving back. These guys and girls, what they do for us, it's so important. They're just the most, you know, amazing souls. And we need to do everything we can to give back.
You're doing it. You support veterans by doing this. Explain how.
Yeah, so we've supported over the years all kinds of different causes, just raising some funds for everything from the Fisher House to the VFW, you name it, all kinds of different organizations, different individuals. The last few years, probably the last 10 years, we've supported a group out of Ohio called Blue Skies Warrior Weekend, where we take Purple Heart recipients, Gold Star families, which are the families of fallen soldiers, and we take Blue Shield families, which are the families of fallen officers, and then the families of fallen firefighters as well, and we go out for a few days of jumping out of airplanes. We ride in World War II bombers, wow. Vietnam era Hueys. We love on these people like no tomorrow, man. We don't force healing. We just want to introduce them to other people that have gone through or are going through what they are, and give them a family that they can heal with whenever they're ready.
So, of course, going to Wing Fest this weekend, you can try the delicious wings, but you're also supporting this good cause. And did I see it was like 25,000? What's the typical turnout here?
Yeah, it's on average. It's around 25,000. We've had upwards of 40,000 wow. out there, even with 112 degree heat and you name it. People love their wings.
Yeah, because you say wings heroes. And people will come.
Yeah.
So what is it? Where do the is it a competition? Because I know for those big barbecue competitions, you'll get people coming from all over the country. Is this mostly local support?
Yeah, so a lot of the food vendors are local. Okay, we do get people. We've had people come from Chicago, from Wisconsin, from all around. But we've got 15 different food vendors, different wing vendors. Now, they have to sell chicken wings, but as long as they sell chicken wings, they can sell any food items they want. So this is an all-out food festival.
Wow. That sounds so. Where are you on that scale? Are you the are you the hot wings guy? Are you the medium wings guy?
Boneless?
Well, I don't know that I necessarily believe that a boneless wing is really a wing.
That's a whole nother debate, right there.
We can debate that another day.
Parts is parts. Come on.
Yeah, you know, when I was young, I wanted it to melt my face off, and these days I like to actually
taste
my food.
You want the tears coming down your
yeah.
I appreciate that. I do. I'm the same way, man. Or I'm carrying a bottle of Tums with me, one of the two. That's for sure. So it says food and music. What do you got lined up this week?
Yeah, so we've got five live bands, regional bands mostly, two bands Friday, three bands on Saturday. The bands on Friday start at 5 p.m. and go to 11 p.m. On Saturday, they start at 1 p.m. And we'll go till 10:45, 11 p.m., right around there.
Wow.
And we've also got a massive car cruise that's going on Saturday, 11 to 3. And we've got a really cool military and first responder area this year. It's really important to the team and I that we're as patriotic as possible. So we want kids to come out and see their, you know, their police officers and firemen and soldiers and be able to interact with them and see some of the cool vehicles. And the Navy's bringing an EOD, an explosive ordnance disposal display out. The Army's wow. bringing a rock wall. The Marines have, of course, got their pull-up bar. I expect to see you guys out there crushing some pull-ups. Yeah,
wish I could still do a pull-up. Goals.
I've got a shoulder injury right now.
Oh, sure you do.
You're going to have the shoulder injury for the rest of your life, right? Mm-hmm. Darn.
That's my excuse. So, again, it's in the parking lot at St. Clair Square, right?
Yeah, it's in the east parking lot behind Dillard's. Okay. I mean, it's massive. There's a huge kids area. There's probably 10 or 12 massive bounce houses out there. There's truly somebody for everybody.
Only $5 for anyone over 12, right?
Yeah,
and then, $5, of course, donations welcome.
Absolutely. $5 for 12 and above. And we are a military and first responder fundraiser at heart. So we'll accept any donations that anybody's willing
to
bring.
Well, you know, it is the holiday weekend. If for some reason people can't get out there because they made plans to travel, can they donate online?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can go online. And one of the really cool things when they do that is whenever people donate online, we put them in our raffle. And we've got all kinds of great prizes donated from local businesses, including a big old 65-inch TV. So, and I actually wanted to say that anybody, if they go online in the next 10 minutes and make a donation, not only will they be in the raffle, but I'm also going to give the first five people that volunteer to volunteer at the event, I'm going to give VIP passes after their shift. Anybody that's from like the Illinois side of the Mississippi Ocean that, you know, has heard of Dandy Inn, like it's a big deal.
Yeah.
The only way you can get Dandy Inn wings is in our VIP area at Midwest Wing Fest. So
excellent.
First five people that volunteer, you're getting free VIP.
MidwestWingFest.com. Doug Shoemaker, thanks for all you do.
Thank you guys.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for us. Brian Kilmeade's up next. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or
unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.